From Illinois Public Media News, this is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. It's Monday, November 17th. Coming up, an interview with the new leaders of Illinois Public Media. That story in just a few minutes, but first, these headlines. Thousands of students at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign rent apartments off campus, and some report leasing companies take advantage of them by not returning their deposits after they move out. IPM Student Newsroom's Sam Rink explains.
GN, a graduate student who requested anonymity because of his status as an international student, rented an apartment from University Group last year. He says the company was responsive to maintenance requests throughout the year, but when it came time to get his security deposit back, it took days or even weeks to receive responses.
I say this is a scam. The scheme is pretty much like long-lasting in this area because many students are not prepared to fight with them.
And he's not the only one. Dozens of students have taken to social media, including Reddit, to warn others about the practice, some advising those who sign with University Group to treat their deposits as lost. A staff attorney at U of I's Student Legal Services confirmed that the office has received many complaints about deductions by leasing companies, including University Group. The company did not respond to a request for comment. I'm Sam Rink, IPM News.
New data from the Agriculture Department casts doubt that China will really buy millions of bushels of American soybeans, like the Trump administration said last month. A USDA report released on Friday shows only two Chinese purchases of American soybeans since Donald Trump met with Chinese leader Xi Jinping. The 332,000 tons is far short of the 12 million tons that Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins said China agreed to purchase by January. China quit buying American soybeans earlier this year after Trump imposed his tariffs and continued to shift more of their purchases over to South America. Illinois is the number one soybean-producing state in the U.S., grown by 43,000 farmers in our state. Starved Rock State Park will undergo an $18 million improvement project over the next year. State officials stress that all operations will remain open during the repairs, but note that hikers might want to plan ahead before their next visit. Starved Rock is Illinois' most visited state park, attracting more than 2 million visitors each year. Todd Stroll is the assistant director of the Illinois Department of Natural Resources. Improvements will include repairs to retaining walls, bridges, stairways, and boardwalks.
Safety is a big part of this, actually, so we don't have people going off trail just sort of randomly exploring.
He says the project will also include addressing erosion that has occurred throughout the park. Visitors are encouraged to visit the park's website and Facebook page in advance to confirm trail availability. Updates will be posted weekly. The Fighting Illini football team stood tall against Maryland 24-6 in a windy battle in Champaign. IPM's Jonathan Matthew has more.
Even though they were going up against the wind, Illinois relied more on the run game to get them down the field and end the first half with an 8-point lead over the Terrapins. In the second half, Illinois quarterback Luke Altmaier connected with Hudson Clemens, helping him score two touchdowns. Head coach Brett Bielema credits the offense for having back-to-back games with over 200 rushing yards.
I thought really Caden Fagan, since really by week one, I just think he's really continued to take a step forward. But the way our offensive line played today was pretty inspiring. I thought they've had a hat on a hat that cover guys up. And then now you got Luke in there in the run game as well that makes it hard to defend those kind of guys.
Illinois improves to 7-3 overall and 4-3 in conference play. The Illini will take on the Wisconsin Badgers in Madison next Saturday for their final road game of the season. I'm Jonathan Matthew, IPM News.
Still to come, an interview with the new leaders of Illinois Public Media. That story is coming up next on 217 Today. But first, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard with your forecast.
I'm meteorologist Andrew Pritchard with your IPM News forecast for Champaign-Urbana. Today, look for partly cloudy skies with a high of 55 degrees and a southeast wind 5 miles per hour. Tonight, cloudy with rain likely and a low of 38 degrees, southeast wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow, rain likely in the morning, otherwise cloudy with a high of 57 degrees, southeast wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with a low of 39 degrees, a northeast wind 5 miles per hour. And for Wednesday, mostly cloudy with a high of 54 degrees with a northeast wind 5 miles per hour.
Next time on the 21st Show, why defendants declared unfit for trial in criminal cases in Illinois sometimes spend months waiting for a bed in a state hospital. Plus, the 50th anniversary of Illinois Times, the alt-weekly newspaper in Springfield that's become a primary source of news. I'm Brian Mackey. That's next time on the 21st Show. Join us.
You're listening to 2 and 7 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. After a decade under its previous executive director, Illinois Public Media has new leadership. Lily Duncanson and John Steinbacher officially began leading the station on Sunday. The College of Media at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign announced their appointments in an email last week. In the same email, the college's dean ended the former leader's term at the public television and radio station. The college is now employing him as a special advisor to the dean. The move came as a surprise to employees at the station. Duncanson and Steinbacher direct operations and fundraising, respectively. IPM's Emily Hayes sat down with both of them to talk about their vision and how they plan to respond to staff concerns about the change. And as a brief disclaimer, no member of upper management or any news executive reviewed this story under IPM's internal reporting guidelines.
When did you become aware that this was a decision that was happening, that Moss would be leaving IPM?
I guess about 2 weeks, or October 30th.
How did this decision happen in terms of Moss being removed, you know, was that something that was a College of Media decision?
We can't talk about personnel, and, you know, he's not removed. He's just onto another location, on another position on campus with the College of Media, but we can't talk about personnel and, you know, and I don't think we know the whole process.
All right, then how was it decided that you all would take on these new roles? What did you have input into that?
We were presented with the opportunity for these new roles. It was presented by the dean and the staff at the College of Media. And we were told, based on our extensive history here at the station, we figured out together we have more than 30 years of experience at IPM alone, that we were good candidates to fill the new leadership role.
Yes.
How important do you think it is for IPM to be editorially independent and to make decisions about its team and staffing structure independent from the university and College of Media?
I mean, I'm happy to answer.
You're just better at words sometimes.
So you want me to answer?
Yeah.
Okay. I think we're really, you know, the College of, or Illinois Public Media has been part of the University of Illinois for 103 years. They've always been incredibly supportive of the organization. You know, we're very lucky to have all the resources available to us, this building, the technology, thanks to our ongoing relationship with the university and the College of Media. We think it's really, really important that as a station, we are working with future journalists and other university students to prepare them for the world. However, the university, the College of Media, does not dictate or make any decisions, especially editorially with the newsroom day-to-day, nor would Lily and I ever want that. Certainly,
right.
The way the station has operated since we've been here is always somewhat independent of the university and the college, and have no indication that they would like that to change anytime soon.
Anything else you all want to say?
In the 103-year history of Illinois Public Media, WILO, WRM, I don't think there's ever been a woman in an executive leadership position as Lily is, and I think that is an important detail and worthy of mention or congratulations.
I have enjoyed working with John for the last 12, 13 years, so I'm really excited. I think our strengths really I think we yin and yang each other pretty well.
John mentioned that you will be the first female executive of IPM. What are your thoughts on that?
I think I'm really excited because public media has been my career choice from the first day I ran master control at my first station in Bloomington, Indiana. And, you know, right now there's a lot going on with federal funding and public media. And, you know, I do think it's part of the next generation. You know, I mean, we talk about the next generation of listeners and viewers and all that, but we're also looking, I mean, I'm grateful to be part of the next generation of leadership, because I've been, you know, I started as a 19-year-old. So it's pretty neat. And going to different PBS conferences, you know, in 2004 or five, you know, the men were engineers and the men were the managers, and then the women were the traffic managers and the marketing people. And I get to be someone that walks to that other side.
Thank you, John and Lily, for talking with me. I really appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's it for today. 2 in 7 Today is produced by Stephanie Oriana. Reporting today contributed by Sam Rink, The Associated Press, Jenna Dooley, Jonathan Matthew, and Emily Hayes. Music by the Kilbourn Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Kimberly Schofield. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.